Good evening, everyone, and you're all welcome here tonight. I just want you to know that. This evening's Bible reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11 to the end, and then chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 12. A call to spiritual growth. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are more mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again, and let us go on instead and become more mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding, for it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared that in the Holy Spirit, those who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. So tonight's talk, I've been asked to talk on a call to spiritual maturity. And I'm not the most mature person in church. A couple of people who I told this was my topic actually laughed and couldn't believe I had been given it. But to me, it speaks of a call to do something is, for me, if you're asked to do something, something God calls us to do. On Friday evenings, before Friday Night Live, the team each week take a passage from the Bible and look at it, and we pray together. And 2 days ago, we looked at James chapter 3, and I mentioned that not everyone is called to be a teacher or a leader. But no matter what our role is, we still have certain responsibilities. We still have the potential within us to make Jesus known through even the small actions that we do, even to the smallest member of the congregation, right up to Naomi leading the band, for instance. Just as we could still drink milk and puree our food, just as parents do for infants, it's not an obligation for us to eat solid food. But I think you'll agree that solid food is so much better. It enhances our palate, it deepens our appreciation for food, and broadens our anticipation and expectation for new flavors and textures. And just in the same way, if we spiritually mature, it enhances our spiritual walk greatly as we grow in our knowledge and love of God. Now, during the Renaissance, there was a painter. There were several painters, actually. But this painter was much admired by his contemporaries, and he was called Andrea del Sarto. Now, del Sarto never really achieved as much fame as, say, the other Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like Michelangelo or Raphael. He was technically brilliant, but he was criticized because he lacked that spark of inspiration, that little bit of extra passion that adds what some call soul to artistic works. And this led an English poet called Robert Browning to write a poem about del Sarto, and it was called The Faultless Painter. And in this poem, there's a verse, and it says, "Ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for?" So we all have this choice. You can either enjoy your current relationship with God, and that's great. You can keep hold of all those things that he's given us so easily and keep them just within our grasp and keep praising God for them and cherish them. Or you can extend beyond these things and see what God is capable through you. As I like to reflect upon it, the same way that Paul did in his letters to the church in Philippi, he says in chapter 3, verse 12, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me." So for those of you who want to mature and grow and try to achieve that perfection, welcome aboard. I'll get straight onto it as soon as I ask a small favor of you. If you would just bear with me as I try and coax the rest of the congregation to join us on this journey. Because as we prayed before, and as we've heard already, and as you may be aware in your own heart, some people may find maturation of their faith quite a difficult thing to do this evening. It's quite hard to say, yes, I want to grow my faith and I want to mature, particularly when we don't know the ins and outs of every single person here. Some of you may have come to church because you've had no choice. And by this, I mean there's no greater thing you'd rather do on your Sunday evening than come and worship God or hear me speak. But some of you may be here as a last resort. You may be facing utter despair. You might have had nowhere else to turn to, and you've just come to church because it's a last try to call upon God and see, how can he help me through the troubles and struggles that I'm going through? And again, you simply had no other choice. So for those of you who are here tonight and you're struggling, you've got problems and you've found it difficult to worship fully before, you might be struggling to listen to me properly, I just want to address you for a moment. Because perhaps you've got these issues such as debt, you're worried about people's sickness, you've got troubles at work, stress, you're just distant from God, or the myriad of other ways that the devil tries to distract us. Or, if we're honest, perhaps the problem is ourselves. We're doubting our own abilities. And as an extension of the previous struggles, we're doubting the ability of God to manifest himself in our lives. I know it's only words. I know some people might just shrug it off. But I want you to know that growing in your relationship with God will enable you to face these challenges with courage and conviction and the belief that God is not powerful enough to help you through your problems is simply a lie. Not even in the slightest way is that true. So I'm going to ask for you to try and put all those things to the back of your mind just for 20 minutes. And together as one body, as one church, we can grow in our knowledge and love of God. So as we mature spiritually, as we've grown up during our own lives, we might have to discipline ourselves in new ways. We have to restructure the way that we think about things or even drop old habits. And I don't know about you, but I was reflecting on my teenage years the other day with my brother, and life seemed so carefree back then. There was such a lack of responsibility and a lack of worries when compared to now. And I'm sure many of you may look at me and think, he doesn't even know the half of it. Wait till he gets to 30 or 40, then he'll know real problems. And I do recognize that life will get tougher. But I wonder how many of you are finding old habits which tie you into a lifestyle that just could be more God-centered. Are you in need of time to reflect and restructure things in your life which could help you mature in your faith? Something I undertook this year after hearing some positive remarks from our young people is to actually start reading the Bible in a year and read it every day. And I'm still working on the discipline side. As I was preparing this talk, I've missed a couple of days and I'm a bit behind. But I do try and read it every day. And I just want to ask, is there somewhere that there's a habit that's holding you back, no matter how minor it is? Whether it's crossed your mind to visit Celebrate Recovery and see if you can restructure your priorities. As chapter 6, verse 4 in this letter to the Hebrews says, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced the good things of heaven? Have you experienced God fully? And this is just a simple ask that the Experiencing God course on Wednesdays might be some way that you can further develop your relationship and understanding and experience of God. So you can refocus God as the hub through which all the other areas of your life revolve. And one of the pitfalls we can easily fall into is one of age. One of the pointers I was asked to touch upon was whether maturity comes with time and age. Now don't be lulled into this false notion that spiritual maturity comes just with age. Of course, a life dedicated to God over time will bloom with spiritual knowledge and fruit, and you'll grow closer to God, but this isn't necessarily true. We shouldn't get complacent in our faith. Just because we are older doesn't necessarily mean we are wiser. God has really spoken to me in this area in the past couple of months. I've really been learning from our young people and seeing how effective this Bible in a year has been for them. And it kind of spurred me on to be encouraged and to try it myself. But also, as I mentioned together, when we pray on Friday nights, we pray for the evening ahead just before we meet. And the requests and prayers of those teenagers really does astound me in an awesome way. It's just really encouraging and uplifting for me to hear. And so I encourage you just to be aware that young people have a lot to offer, and you might be astounded as well at what they can introduce into your lives. But how can we more practically develop our maturity spiritually? Well, just like maturing in life, we must always be active and always be conscious about our growth. So practically, how can we mature from a spiritual perspective? Well, the first point I want to touch on reflects this Bible in a year, and it is just simply studying the Bible. This has and always will be an important thing for us to do. But in verse 5, Paul speaks of those who have tasted the goodness of God's word. So it gets the top spot. Really getting to grips and understanding the scriptures and what they mean for our daily lives is crucial for our growth. A constant reminder of the good news that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that God loves us and will guard our hearts from becoming a people who have rejected Jesus. It can be so easy in our modern world to uphold values of loving our neighbor whilst overlooking how much God loves us and not embracing Jesus and what he's done for us. And like a child looks up to adults around it and imitates them, reading the Bible and allowing it to seep into our minds and our hearts through meditation and reflection, it allows us to imitate and hear the words of not just godly men and women, but Jesus himself. What better role model can we have for this constant refreshing of how we can mature in our faith than Jesus himself? I'm not sure how many of you are in home groups. I'm hopefully not preaching to the choir and everyone's here is in one, but I find home groups to be vital in our understanding and sharing God's word. I'm really so blessed to have some spiritually gifted people in my home group. And when we meet on a Wednesday, I know that I'm going to learn more and be challenged and get to know God a little bit extra week on week. And this leads me nicely onto the second point, sharing our faith. This is the part that always got me on edge. Whenever I heard it in a sermon, I was always a bit scared because it just seemed a bit daunting to share my faith. It always kind of spoke to me as stop someone in the street, go on a full evangelism spree, and just tell them how great Jesus is and what he's done for my life, and effectively just giving them a sermon, or at the very least, a personal testimony to some stranger. Now, don't get me wrong, if you can do that and you love doing that, then keep that up. That's a brilliant way to introduce people to Jesus. There's nothing better than sharing the gospel to fresh ears. But the thought of this, it scares me to death. And that usually means that sometime in the near future, God is going to call me to do it. But this full-on constant evangelism I've come to realize is not necessary at all. Something as minor as sharing what we think about a Bible verse in a home group, I've come to value, especially hearing other people's views and opinions. But I think more importantly, sharing the small ways in which God has been active in our lives just today. I mean, if you think about it, did you eat today? I did. So thanks be to God. It's allowed me the energy to stand up here. So maybe some of you aren't thanking God. But I mean, did you see someone today? Maybe a friend or a family member? No matter how you feel, they always manage to cheer you up. Again, I've seen people right here, and I'm quite happy today, but they could pick me up whenever I'm really down. And again, I have to say thanks to God for such people. Have you been accompanied whilst you sing by skilled musicians as you sung praises earlier? Again, we did. And we've got to thank God for all these small things that we might just put to one side and think they're not really that great blessings. And finally, he's blessed us with his presence. God is here with us right now. How good is that? And he's always with us. Thanks be to God. It's easy to overlook these small things, but God has given us so many delights. And I think just acknowledging this with one another, with co-workers and friends, and just a simple, do you know, I'm so grateful that I got to eat today. I believe that says a lot where you place your hope and your faith. The third area where I think that we could grow is if we seek spiritual gifts. I can't remember where I got the inspiration from, but the beginning of this year, a friend and I arranged to exchange envelopes. These were to be opened on the 31st of December 2012. Now, inside, I've written a letter, and it contains all the things that I was grateful for in 2011. And then I've got my hopes and my plans for 2012. And a small inspiration came from after we studied the book of Corinthians last term. And on the subject of spiritual gifts, I knew that there was something important there. I'd listened to the sermons and tried to see what God was saying just to me. Well, it wasn't until just before Christmas that I was contacted and asked to speak on this passage. And I read through these verses in Hebrews, and verse 7 really stood out for me. Now, when we did Corinthians last term, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says that we should eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And for those of you who want to mature, I encourage you to pray and seek out these spiritual gifts. Ask God where he might bless you so that you might glorify him best. And my envelope is a request that God might bless me with another gift as I pray about it this year. However, I'm fully aware that God doesn't always answer the way that we request, the way that we may want. And so, regardless, I believe that spiritual maturity will simply come from seeing where God has been at work over the past 12 months. But my hope and prayer for 2012, for this church, is that for each one of you, you might be fortunate enough to have God's blessing, that we may be fertile soil. And as verse 7 said, we might be ready and eager to soak up God's rain should it fall on this place. Now, for those of us who are willing to mature spiritually, I've just got four areas in which we need to recognize our weaknesses and other people's strengths. And how do we deal with these areas? Well, firstly, as you grow, be aware of your own weaknesses. Be aware that people might be less developed than us. When Jesus says, "The poor will always be among you," I've heard interpretations that he may not just be referring to financially poor people, but spiritually poor as well. And these weak in spirit people will always be with us. I'm glad to say many of those people in this church who I look up to are a wonderful encouragement. their lives in general just seem to gush out praise and encouragement and blessings. And for those of you who are well-versed in the scriptures, those who have heard sermons hundreds of times or perhaps preached more times than you care to remember, I know I can't really teach you very much. So all I ask is that you are aware of those around you who are not as spiritually mature. Please keep being encouraging. Please continue to be understanding and correcting where it's needed, and continue sharing those blessings that you've received from God so that you might build a new generation of people who are mature and they grow up on a solid foundation. I also ask that you be humble and wary to admit that you are spiritually mature. I tried to word this so it doesn't contradict the first point, because there's always room for growth. There's always a way that we can mature more. From that perspective, none of us are mature in our faith as we may hope to be. But the fact is, people like my parents, Ian and Andrew, Ted and Rebecca Parkinson, these are people who are far more mature than I am. And so I continue to seek their guidance and their help. Yeah, I doubt they would class themselves as having all the answers or being fully mature. Yet I would assume that, like Paul, they're pressing on for that perfection in Christ Jesus. If I'm honest, I've got to say that I'm seen as spiritually more mature than some of the people in the youth, because I guess I have to be. But that doesn't mean I'm not rocked every once in a while when I hear some of the prayers or the thoughts or the actions carried out by our young people. Things that just make me stop and thank God. The prayers of our young people aren't populated with sound bites and Christian buzzwords, and that's something that I love. They're not restrained yet by a certain Christian etiquette, but rather they're usually quite short, to the point, and passionate prayers. So how could you learn from someone unexpected this week? Just be on the lookout for it, because God might teach you from the least likely person. For those of you who desire to mature spiritually, but feel that you aren't well-versed in it yet, remember that there will always be those who are slightly more developed than you. Like it or not, there are always going to be these people on the other end of the spectrum. Those people that read the original Greek translation of the Bible for fun, and you're reading the message and you're struggling through every word. But as you mature, be humble and acknowledge that God has placed people around you to help in such situations, to help you grow, so long as they listen before and they're willing to encourage you and help you. So lean on these people. Recognize where your weaknesses are, and lean on everyone in your church, because they will have strengths that counter your weaknesses, whether they be in your home group, in your family, or maybe tonight they're a stranger and one day you get to meet them and grow with them. Sometimes those more developed than ourselves will see something in us and be a huge blessing to us and to others. For instance, Rich Miles first asked me to speak at Friday Night Live in October 2009, and then in the spring of 2010, Andrew invited me onto a course to learn how to preach. I'm still learning. But those who are more spiritually developed than I am have recognized a gifting in me, and they've helped me to mature in it. So be aware that someone might see a gifting in you, and they might want to help you mature in that. Finally, be aware that God has blessed every individual here. Know your walk with God and recognize your own weaknesses and strengths. Now, God hasn't just blessed the band here. He's not just blessed me, but you. Just you sat there, listening, not doing much. God has blessed you. And there's something inside of you that God wants you to truly unleash onto the world. A gifting that only you have to display. A gifting that God's glory will shine through you in the only way that God can. So please meditate and mature in a way that you recognize your spiritual strengths. If you desire to keep loving others, to glorify God and keep that hope alive, that you have salvation, where Paul says in verse 12, that we won't become spiritually dull and indifferent. I long to see people contribute to church, because so often it's seen to be dull and indifferent, and people don't like, people have the wrong impression from the outside. But just imagine if we all had these gifts from God and created an exciting place where sparks of God's creativity shone and blessings were always on show here. This wouldn't just be a temporary event either. Paul instructs those of us who desire maturation of our faith to keep on loving others as long as life lasts. In essence, those of us who want to mature today will begin a domino effect, and we will pass that maturity on to others as long as life lasts. In essence, we'd lead future generations to grow in their maturity, and so on and so on. And who knows what future Christians might feel about you and say about you as the effect that from you coming to know Jesus is passed on to them. Just want to pray, and then the band will come up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your gifts. Thank you for each person here, and I pray that you may really speak to them. Perhaps tonight, perhaps during this week, perhaps it's going to be in the distant future, Lord. But I just pray that you would come and just reveal to them how you want them to work, to glorify you and to build your church. And Lord, I just ask that you would come and bless us as we continue to worship you. As we go into this week, Lord, just continue to help us be an inspiration and grow in our knowledge and love of you. Amen.